schooled in New Age prophecy or anything, there were rumors that the world was going to end on December the 21st, 2012, just a little over a week ago. There's a 5,125-year cycle known as the long count in the Mayan calendar, and it supposedly was going to come to a close on the 21st. Psychics predicted doomsday scenarios, apocalyptic happenings all over the world and in the sky, and meteor showers and meteors and comets and you name it. In Russia, this is really funny. In Russia, there's a prison called Prison Colony Number 10. Isn't that great? In Russia, it's a little town called Gnornye. Gnornye. And in Gnornye, Russia, anxiety over the Mayan prophecies got so tense inside the prison that inmates broke out because of their disturbing thoughts. They found a way to break out. Some of the women in the prison got sick. They had seizures. And once the prisoners were standing in a formation, and one of them thought that they heard the earth yawn, and they were stricken by fear and ran in all directions and hid. Today, you can hardly find a candle to buy in the nation of Russia, because there was this rush on buying candles because of the impending darkness that was going to hit on December 21st. In France, authorities barred access to this place called the Bougeroc Mountains in the south of France, because that was to keep out this flood of visitors who had heard that it was the only safe place to go to escape the end of the world. All over the world, some people laughed at it. Some people had heart attacks. Some people laughed. Some people got involved in criminal activities because the world was going to end and there was no accountability. Here in the United States, the Discovery Channel did an endless series of specials on the Mayan doomsday prophecy. Some of you saw all of them. And politicians continue to scare us to death about the doomsday prophecy that will happen tomorrow, the fiscal cliff. Somehow, like it was tied to the Mayans. I even heard a few preachers on the radio who treated the Mayan prophecy like Daniel or Jeremiah wrote it. And what happened on December 21st? It was unseasonably warm in Alabama, and Big Lots had a great sale. So much for the Mayans. Like God was going to tell the ancient Mayans anything anyway. Like He was going to let them in on it. The Mayans were the people that killed their children and cut their hearts out on altars. Come on. That was not quite in tune with the Holy Spirit. More like in tune with the Philistines. So what about it? What about all this uproar that we've heard about for the last 2 years? I want to tell you three things. I've got three sets of threes today, so that's how long the message is. So here go the first three. Three things about this doomsday thing we just went through. First of all, people know something's up. Y'all are shaking your head. People know something's up. All human beings, or even non-believers, are created in the image of God. And there's something instinctively that tells you something is up. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, I think we have it up on the screen. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, He has also set eternity in the hearts of men. That's why soldiers pray in foxholes. That's why people cry out to God when they mash their brakes and they're screeching it into a car wreck. It's why crises often open up doors to the soul. People are in a place where they're ready to think about eternity. And that's why all of a sudden the Mayan prophecy was a big deal. It's because people knew something's up. Something is up. It wasn't the Mayans, but something's up. The second thing, people freaking out about prophecy fulfillment is actually a fulfillment of prophecy. Luke 21:25 says this. There will be signs of the sun, moon, stars on the earth. Nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming upon the world. For the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time they will see the Son of Man come in a cloud with great power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up, lift your heads, your redemption draws nigh. The Bible plainly says, Jesus plainly said to us, that people were going to freak out about what was going to happen in the earth. They were going to look for prophecies. People are out there looking for them. I promise you, if you want to sell a book, write a book about anything about what is going to happen in the future, you'll sell a ton of them. Because people want to know. They want to know. Here's the third thing. Now, this is real important. Listen to this. Unfulfilled doomsday prophecies, like we just had, are the enemy, Satan's way of making people become cold to the truth that the Lord's coming back. 2 Peter 3:4 says this, quote, they will say, where is his coming as he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on since it was at the beginning of creation. You see, the world, when they hear people cry wolf enough, even Christians who cry wolf, there is a Bible prophecy teacher. I will leave him unnamed, but he's on TV all the time. There's a Bible prophecy teacher that in 1974 predicted the end of the world by 1977, and I believed it. And he has done it about 25 times since then, and he's still on TV and still selling books. And all that does is make people, when we say Jesus is coming back, people go, yeah, well. Unfulfilled doomsday prophecies are the enemy's way of making people just go, crying wolf again, crying wolf again, crying wolf again. I guarantee you this. I guarantee you that you will hear this. Somebody's going to say something like, I don't know about this Jesus coming back. You know, the Mayan prophecy didn't come true. Somehow, like, they're on the same level. It hardens people's hearts. Listen to this. It erodes the eternity that God puts in everybody's heart away. That's what the enemy wants to do. The enemy wants to erode the promise of the Lord's coming. In reference to that horrible Connecticut elementary school shooting a couple of weeks ago, Mike Huckabee, who I already think a lot of, Mike Huckabee said this, and he's getting crucified for saying it, but he said it. I agree with him. We live in a nation that no longer teaches accountability. Young people grow up thinking that if the police don't catch them, they got away with it. They've been robbed of growing up knowing there's a righteous judge that awaits them in the next life, even if they get away with it in this one. That's why we have events like the Connecticut shooting. The government and the courts have systematically removed God from the schools and the public square, and now there is a price to pay. Eternity is being removed from people's hearts. That is true. I believe that. And that's what happens on things like this Mayan stuff. I know we're going, so dumb, the Mayan stuff. People ought to laugh at those pagan prophecies. People out there don't connect pagan and Christian. They don't see that they're totally different. They connect the two together and they say, if the Mayan prophecy didn't come true, the Bible won't either. The truth is, Jesus is coming back. The truth is, it may be soon. It may be in 2013. And it won't have anything to do with the Mayans, Nostradamus, or the Da Vinci Code. The Bible is clear. The Lord Jesus will return. Just like when the angel announced to Mary and Joseph the first coming of Jesus, the same angel proclaimed that he would come again even as he was being taken up into heaven. And we would be fools to forget it. The Lord is going to return. Let's read what Jesus said when the disciples asked him about it, okay? Matthew 24, I'm going to read this passage to you. Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to the buildings. Do you see these things, he asked? I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down. Well, that was a rather incendiary statement of Jesus to make. So they said this. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Now they're worried. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? What will be the sign of your coming of the end of the age? And Jesus answered, watch that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, claiming I'm the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear wars and rumors of wars. See to it you're not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Isn't that amazing? Because nowadays, when you hear wars and rumors of wars, people get alarmed and go, oh, it's the end. Jesus said the very opposite. He said war and rumor of war does not mean the end. That was his way of saying there's always going to be wars and rumors of wars. Because people can't get along. Let me keep going. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, earthquakes in various places. All of these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you'll be handed over to be persecuted, put to death. You'll be hated of all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn from the faith and will betray and hate one another. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness and love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. I'm a student of biblical prophecy. I really enjoy it. It is astounding the things that are being fulfilled right before our eyes, right now. My expectation of the return of Jesus is only heightened by the events of the last few years. Could Jesus come back in 2013? Yes, he could. Could the final events of human history begin this year? Absolutely. You better believe it. Is that all right with me? Uh-huh. That is absolutely fine with me. Even so, come Lord Jesus. If I was certain that he was coming back in 2013, what kind of life would I live? Wow, what a thought. It might be different. My priorities might be different than they were in 2012. But what if he doesn't come in 2013? Does that mean he's not coming? No. What if he doesn't come in 2013? What kind of life would I live? What kind of life will we live if he doesn't come this year? That's really the big question. Acts 1, verses 6 through 8, absolutely speaks to this question. Listen. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? You know, are you going to come back? This is after the resurrection. He said to them, listen, it is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That they asked Jesus the same questions we're asking Jesus now. Is this it? Is this it? The world has said, is this the end? Is this the end? When's the end? When's the end? When's the end? Sell a book. Tell me, preach a sermon. When's the end? What are the signs? What are the signs? And this is what Jesus' response was. God's timetable is none of your business. You have work to do. Be my witnesses. I think the biggest distraction in the world can be the stinking Mayan prophecy or 25 reasons why Jesus is coming back in 2013. I think that could be the biggest distraction because we have a job to do, and it is not to fill in the prophetic calendar. It is to preach the gospel to the world. We are to be his witnesses. That's our job. The best way to prepare for the imminent coming of Jesus is like the old hymn says, work for the night is coming. Work for the night is coming. Jesus is coming. He's coming soon. I know it. I see it in the scripture. I feel it in his heart. Are you with me? I know it. I feel it in my heart. The Lord's coming soon. If that's true, then let's preach the good news. Let's share the message of Jesus. Let's take the gospel to the next door neighbor. Let's take the gospel to the ends of the earth while there's still time. What if Jesus doesn't come in 2013? Are we going to sit around and decide then if he's coming in 2014? Or are we going to be his witnesses? That's all he asks us to do. Now, today, what I'm going to do is I'm going to promise you, I'm going to guarantee you three things that will happen in 2013. I'm going to guarantee you three things from my prophetic discernment. And I think Jason's going to put these up as I say them, because I want you to see them and hear them. If the Lord tarries, I guarantee you these three things will happen in 2013. One, prophecy fulfilled. There will be more biblical prophecies fulfilled this year. You will see them, and it will be spine-chilling, and we'll talk about them here. I promise you that. Number two, the world will be hostile. You will see this world become more and more critical of Christianity and more hostile to Jesus this year. The government and the media will lead the way. Boy, you're excited about that one, aren't you? You know, I was in amazement. Joel and I were talking about this the other day, riding together, talking. Tim Tebow, y'all know who that is. He's the football player that loves Jesus. He really does. He loves Jesus. He, like, kneels and pray. I know that's not why he loves Jesus. He loves Jesus. He's been vocal about his faith in Christ. And he's the guy that gets up and says, I'm going to remain a virgin until I marry. Imagine that. He's the guy that gets up and says, you know, I don't drink. I serve God. I love Jesus. I love my family. The media is torching him this week. They do not hate him because he hasn't done a great job as the quarterback of the New York Jets. They hate him because he's a Christian. And we all know that. It's the truth. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard to hear people. This last week, they absolutely torched his character, saying he is everything about him, everything he said he stood for is all a lie. And that was all based on something he never even said. His character is being completely maligned, especially in the New York press. You know why? Because he's a man who loves God and has moral standards. That's exactly why it's happening. Expect more of that this year. Tim Tebow got more negative airtime than the guy who killed his girlfriend and then committed suicide, the football player. Here's why. Because he loves Jesus. And he says, I'm going to have Christian standards in my life. And the world goes, oh, you can't have anybody do that. The guy knelt down after a touchdown. Knelt down on a knee. And he's suddenly the worst thing the world has ever seen. I promise you, this world is going to get more hostile to Christianity. And you're going to see it this year. So don't freak. I'm not saying this will happen this year, but I guarantee you, very soon, we're going to see a giant push to get In God We Trust off of our coins. It's going to happen, so don't freak out. It's not like that makes our money worth more. Money's money. Caesar. Don't freak out if Caesar doesn't like Jesus. Here's the third thing I promise you. I guarantee you. Let me start off. I guarantee you prophecy will be fulfilled. I guarantee you the world will be hostile. And I guarantee you the third one. Open doors. God will grant you incredible open doors this year to be his witness to spiritually hungry people. Especially in crisis. And there's going to be a lot of them this year. Especially in crisis. Maybe in just emptiness. This year, you are going to have an unprecedented amount of open doors. And God is going to offer to use you. He says, you want to be used? And if you will be used, this will be the most incredible year of your life in service for Jesus. I guarantee you those three things will happen in 2013. I guarantee it. Now, I want to just tell you this from my heart. This is my last set of three. I've done three sets of three now. That's 9 points. But I figured if I told you I had a 9-point sermon, you'd freak. So, here are three things that I desire more than anything in the world to see at Kingwood. I'm your assistant pastor, and I desire more than anything in the world to see the three things that I'm going to tell you right now. This is my desire. It's not a guarantee. I hope it happens. This is what I want. I'm praying for. And here they are. And if any one of these three speak to you, I ask you to join me in prayer about this. Three things I desire to see at Kingwood Church in 2013. Number one, more and more of this congregation to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is a necessity in these days. It is a necessity in 2013 for a believer. It is the key to you having the power to share the good news with anybody. I mean it. It's not an option that you need to say, well, you know, if I want to really be spiritual. No, the truth is, if you want to hang in here and make it in the last days, you need the power of the Holy Spirit in you. I really believe that more than I ever have before. And I'm praying that this place, everyone in this congregation, everyone that goes to church here, will understand what it's like to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Number two, I want everybody to have courage this year. Courage to get beyond the door of your own home. Notice I didn't say get outside these church doors. We say it all the time. I'm talking about your door. I'm talking about your house. To get beyond the door of your own home and get involved in the life of an unsaved or unchurched person that you get connected with somehow. You don't have to go to the airport with the track. You don't have to stand out in front and shake a bell at Belk's or anything like that. You don't have to do that. Just get outside yourself. Find someone at work, in your neighborhood, that you can somehow influence. Have the courage to influence them. They don't know the Lord. If the Lord comes back this year, which He may, they will be left behind. Get outside your own door and care about somebody. Have the courage to do that this year. Why are we scared to do that? Well, if we get baptized in the Holy Spirit, it sure will help. Look, it takes an unselfish heart and courage to do what I just said. But God will be with you. Do you know your neighbors that you live near? We used to... When I grew up, I mean, we knew all our neighbors. We went in our neighbor's house, like, uninvited, just as kids walked in. My neighbor would come home from work, and me and my friends would be playing in their house. Now, I'm not saying that you ought to do that. I also grew up in Mayberry. But it really would be good to know who our neighbors are. Really would be good to have an influence on the people that live right next door to us. Here's my third one, and I really mean this. I got a lump in my throat saying it. I want everyone at this church to have this insatiable, overwhelming desire for the will of God in their life. I want every person here to have this empty spot in you that cries only for God's will to be done in you. There's a lady, she's got a weird name, but she really said some cool things. Her name was Basilia Schlink. You would not go buy a book by Basilia Schlink, probably, just because you'd think that was a Schlinky book. Basilia Schlink was a nun, sort of like Mother Teresa. She lived in Eastern Europe, And she, back during the days of the Cold War, way back in the 60s and 70s, Bethilia Schlink had an incredible ministry behind the Iron Curtain. And she said that she was praying daily for people in America. That's where she got her support financially, and materials and stuff came from America. She was praying for Americans to have an insatiable love for Christ, because she said otherwise they will never make it. She was in the middle of communist Romania. She was ministering to people who, when they came to Christ, they had this incredible love for God, such a love and commitment for God and for His will in their life, that they were willing to die for the gospel. And she said, oh, I'm praying for Americans because they don't have that. And they'll never make it if they don't get it. I think Bethilia Schlink was right. And I think it's time. I want those three things to happen. And they are my New Year's resolution, so to speak, that I'm going to seek God about those three things. That Kingwood Church people become filled with the Holy Spirit, receive His baptism. That they have the courage to get outside the door of their own home. And that they be overwhelmed with this insatiable desire to love and serve God with all their heart. I think when compared to the Mayan prophecy, that sounds really good. I'm going to ask the musicians if they'll come right now. You see at the front of the church building here, you see the tables. We have two of them over here. And it remains open for any of you that want to have prayer requests in it, believing God for miracles. But some of you, I feel like today, the miracle that has to happen is not one that you can write down. It might be one of the three that I mentioned right there, that you need God to create in you those three things. This desire to be filled with the Spirit. This desire to have courage, like the lion in the Wizard of Oz. It's courage. Maybe you say, God, I love you, but I want an insatiable desire to be in the center of your will. That's not something you can write down on paper very well, but you can sure tell God about it this morning. I'm not going to ask our prayer team to come today. I really want the Holy Spirit to meet you here as your prayer team member. I want you, in just a few minutes, when I ask you to come, if your heart was moved today by something I said, if your heart was moved, I'm going to ask you to just make your way to the front and have a conversation with the Holy Spirit about what moved your heart today. And I believe that God will do something in you that will be lasting and not fearful. That will change the year that you're about to live. Or if the Lord comes back, that will prepare you to meet Him. That's really what I ask. Would everyone stand together with me? I'm going to pray, and as soon as I say amen, I'm going to open this altar. And I just want you to come and stand or kneel here. You're welcome to use the table to write a prayer request, but I'm going to ask you to come and stand and have a conversation with the altar worker today, the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, Lord, I delivered what I felt that you told me to deliver. And Lord, I know that the power of your word is so much more than any Mayan could have ever dreamed. And I thank you, God, that your word is true. And I pray the truth that was spoken here today will now invade the hearts of people. It changes for either your return this year or for the work we have before us. In Jesus' name.